It's a very, very detailed book. And the theme of Romans is justification by faith. That's one thing that I failed to mention last week, but the theme overall in the book is justification by faith. He's trying to show this church, and he's trying to show us also, and God is seeking to show us that we are saved by grace and that by faith we shall live. By faith we are justified. It's not by our works, but it's by faith. And he'll do that, and in fact he does so in such a way that it's almost like a lawyer presenting a case. He does it point by point and precept by precept all the way through. We've already seen that he's talked about the church a little bit. He's talked about Jesus being the gospel. The fact the gospel is Jesus Christ. It's not something about Christ. It is Jesus Christ. That is the true gospel. We also looked at his humanity, his divinity, the fact that he's fully God and very powerful. But what Paul does here at this point, he wants to introduce himself. Because remember, Paul has never been to Rome. Okay, and Rome is a very important city. It was the biggest, it was the most beautiful city there was in that day. And the whole world had heard of Rome. Of course, the whole world was under Rome at that point. It was the world leader. But it was a big, important city, but it was also an important church because the world had heard of this church, and we'll get into that a little bit. But Paul here was wanting to impart something to this church, and Paul was wanting to be there to meet the people and to grow with them. But they hadn't met him yet. And Paul had wisdom here. He had wisdom that has come from God. He was inspired by God to write this and to show the truth of God's grace and his and faith and love. He was inspired by God for this. And so he was introducing himself. It's much like if we had somebody, if you wanted to, I can't even think of a good illustration now. Roof your house. If you wanted to roof your house. No. If you wanted to get married, let's go with that. If you were going to get married and you went into the church and somebody came up and said, you know what? I know just exactly what you need for marriage. I want to tell you all about how to be married and I want you to know this is the best way for marriage. It'll make your marriage last. And you're going, okay. So he gives you point by point. You know, you got to do this and do this. Okay, all these things. If you do this, you'll have a great marriage. You say, okay, well, is your marriage great? And, well, I've never been married. But, you know, it's got to work. And so you're going, okay, number one, I don't have a clue who this person is. Number two, apparently they don't have much experience. And number three, I don't know that that's my best source of advice, okay? Why? Well, because you have no idea who he is. Now, Paul was well known. He was well known throughout the region. And apparently this church was too. But Paul wanted to impart truth, but he wanted to introduce his heart. Okay? So in the first section here, and we're going to be looking at that this week and next week, he kind of opens his heart to him. He says, okay, this is who I really am. This is who I am. I'm seeking to minister with you, but you got to know who I am. All right? As he does so, look what he does. The first thing in verse 8, I'm going to start out here. He's introducing himself, and first thing he tells them is of his thankful heart. He says, first, and by the way, that first just means first in my thoughts. It doesn't mean, okay, here's the first thing, here's the second thing. That's not what, it's just first, the first thing that comes to mind here is this. I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, because your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world. I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you. Now, he had never met this church. He was prominent. He was well known. We understand that. But this church was also well known. And he says, first thing I want to tell you is I'm thankful. I'm thankful. And he does this in several other books too. He's forever thanking God for certain churches. You know, his prayers, and we'll talk about his prayer list too, but he keeps them focused right in front of him. And he does so because he loves them. And we'll look at that too. But he says, I'm thanking God through Jesus Christ for you. And here's why. Because your faith is being proclaimed. He's thankful for the church. He's had no contact with them, no personal contact, but they had a reputation. You see, Paul's reputation was as a theologian, as one who had gone from legalism to grace, as one who had been persecuting the church, and now he was a minister of the church. But this church's reputation involved their faith. Did you notice he didn't say, I thank my God through Jesus Christ because you have the greatest windows in any church I've ever heard of. Because you have the biggest building I have ever seen. Because you have the most people coming to your... He didn't say any of this, all right? He brought it down to the focus on where our focus truly is. Faith. He says, your faith is widely proclaimed throughout the known world. How would Paul have known that? Well, Paul had gone on several missionary journeys. He had gone on three at this point, in fact. And he had heard from a lot of different people who had visited Rome, who knew of that church. He had heard from many of those people about the faith that was exhibited in that church. Which is amazing to me. It's in fact, it's really neat. Because what is it that's the greatest thing about any church? It's the faith of the people. Who they are. How they exhibit their faith. It's how God is exhibiting himself through the people. And this is what they were well known for. So Paul was clearly thankful. He was clearly thankful on what God was doing with these people. And he wanted them to know that. So that was his prayer. You know, a lot of leaders... especially leaders, they have different motivations for serving. And some of them aren't good motivations, some of them are good. But they have different motivations. But Paul here was expressing his heart. And he's leading up to his motivation, okay? We'll get to that probably next week. But Paul here is opening his heart. And look at verse 9. Because not only does he have a thankful heart, he has a prayerful heart. For God, whom I serve in my spirit, and by the way, I want you to see that because that's the focus. There's Paul's focus. You want to know his focus, his heart? God, whom I serve in my spirit. There were a lot of... What did Paul come out of? He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, right? How did the Pharisees serve? They didn't serve in their spirit. They served for... how they looked. They served for what they could get. It was a self-focused service. And Paul had been part of that. And yeah, he was sincere, very sincere, but it was still a self-focused service because it wasn't towards the true God. And now, Paul was in a position where he's serving from his spirit, from within, not without, not his motivation without, but from within. And if you look through Corinthians, you can see that. So he says, you know, I've learned to, no matter what condition I'm in, whether rich or poor, I've been shipwrecked, I've been, you know, stoned, I've been lashed, all of this. And all of it I serve from my spirit. Okay, keep going. For God, whom I serve in my spirit, in the preaching of the gospel, and by the way, the preaching of the is not there, it's just God, whom I serve in my spirit, in the gospel of his son, which is his son, literally, according to the first couple of verses, is my witness as to how unceasingly I make mention of you, always in my prayers, making request, if perhaps now at last, by the will of God, I may succeed in coming to you. Paul here is praying in the gospel, in Jesus Christ. He is praying for them, yes, but he is also praying to be with them. The encompassment, the what puts together his prayer is that his desire is to be with them. And there's a reason, and he'll get into that reason. But if you can imagine Paul, in all the places he says, I'm praying for you earnestly, I'm praying for you in all the different books, he had to have lists. Then he had to have prayer lists. And Paul was very diligent in those prayer lists. In fact, he didn't just say, well, you know what, I'll pray for you. He says, God is my witness. And the word witness is martyrion. It's the word we get martyr from. In other words, he's saying, you know, as I could die for this truth, God will be my witness. God will show you, or God I lean upon God to tell you this, that I truly am praying. I'm praying that I can be there. I'm praying that I can be with you. In fact, there's something behind that. And this was a great comfort for them. It would have been a great comfort for them to have Paul praying for them. Why? Well, so he can be with them, but why? Why does he desire to be with them? In verse 10, he says always in my prayers, making request, if perhaps now at last, by the will of God, I may succeed in coming to you. So up to this point, it hasn't been God's will that he's been there. Now remember, he's probably writing this from Corinth, and he's going to be going to Jerusalem. And when he gets to Jerusalem, he's going to be arrested. And when he gets arrested, he's going to have an assassination attempt put on him, and he's going to say, I appeal to Caesar. That, in and of itself, because he was a citizen, a Roman citizen, he could say, I appeal to Caesar. He had to go to Rome. They had to send him to Rome, because any citizen, Roman citizen, could appeal to Rome. All right? So he was going to get to go to Rome. And in fact, God, there was several places where people tried to talk him out of it. He said, hey, I'm willing to die for God. I'm willing to lay my life. This isn't a problem. So he ended up going to Rome. Now, this was accomplished, and this was in God's will. But up to this point, it hadn't been. But Paul's desire was to be there. And his desire was for a purpose. Why? Well, it was because of the next verse. Look at verse 11. This is his sharing heart. So he has a thankful heart, he has a prayerful heart, but he also has a sharing heart. Remember, Paul here is explaining himself. He's opening his heart up so that people can know him. He says, for I long to see you. I long. The word long means it's a deep desire. It's a great affection for. It's a very, very deep word here. Basically, Paul's saying, look, in the depths of my soul, I am eager to see you. Have you ever wanted to do something so bad you're saying, I'm dying to get there. I'm just dying to get there. That's kind of the feeling that Paul had. I'm dying to get to you guys. I want to. I long to get to you. And there's a purpose. Why? Look what it says. It says, I long to see you so that I may impart some spiritual gift to you that you may be established. Okay? Now that sounds pretty good. That sounds like Paul is saying, you know what? I've got all these spiritual gifts and I can, you know, I'll impart them to you so that, you know, you can finally be a good church. That is not what he's saying. Okay? That is not what Paul's intention here is at all. And I'll show you that as we go. But Paul here wasn't touting his apostleship. Paul wasn't saying, I'm such a great Christian that you need this so bad. That's not what he's doing. He explains this. He says, for I long to see you so that I may impart. The word impart, literally, the word impart means to share. And it means a mutual giving to each other. He wasn't expressing his greatness here. It was a genuine desire to help them and to be helped by them. And I'll show you that in the next verse. But it was basically what Paul here is talking about is spiritual growth. Okay? If you want to put a little side marker theme going on, it's spiritual growth. Paul here wanted them to grow spiritually. He wanted himself to grow spiritually. You say, well, Paul? How can Paul want to grow spiritually? I mean, he's just the epitome of spiritual. There is always growth. There is always growth that can happen. In fact, he goes on and talks about it. Keep going to verse 11. For I long to see you so that I may share some spiritual gift to you. In other words, Paul was desiring to share what God had given him, his spiritual gifts. We know he was an apostle. We know he was a teacher. The other gifts that he may have had, I can't tell you exactly. But he wanted to share those gifts with these folks so that they may be established, it says. Verse 11, that you may be established. The word established means strengthened or set in a place or decide firmly. So what he's talking about here isn't so that the church can finally be a good church. He's saying, as I'm sharing the spiritual gifts that God has given me, you'll be strengthened. You'll be set more in the place that God has you. And he says, you know what? That's reciprocal. Look at the next verse. Look at the next verse. How does this establishment take place? Look at verse 12. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you while among you, each of us by the other's faith, both yours and mine. That is, the word that is, it explains what the establishment is. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you. You see, this is going back and forth. By using the gifts the Spirit gives us to uplift each other. Spiritual growth happens through spiritual gifts. You realize that? Spiritual growth happens through spiritual gifts. What happens when we're saved? When we trust in Christ, what? The Spirit, the Holy Spirit lives in us. And He gives us gifts. And guess what? Every Christian has spiritual gifts. You have spiritual gifts. Why? Because God builds His body that way. Do you realize that we are called in Scripture the body of Christ? Who is the head? Christ. Jesus Christ. Who is the body? We are. What part of the body are we? I don't know. I always figured I was a knuckle. I like being a knucklehead, you know? So I always figured, well, knucklehead, I always call the kids. I figured I was a knuckle. But what part of the body are we? I don't know. But you know what? God makes it essential to use all of the body. And He uses it for each other. Look what He says here in verse 12. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you. Encouraged together with you. That is in the passive voice. In other words, as we are together imparting our gifts toward one another, God is doing the encouraging. God is doing the strengthening. God is doing the building. You want to know how to grow up spiritually? You want to know how to grow spiritually? You want to know how to gain in your spiritual life? By utilizing your gifts and accepting others utilizing theirs. You know, Paul wasn't so intimidated that he would not use his spiritual gift in other churches. And he also wasn't so proud that he would not accept the spiritual gifts of others. In fact, that's what he's talking about here when it's talking about growing. Paul knew that according to Ephesians chapter 4, he knew what the unity of the body was. He knew what would help in the unity of the body, what would grow the unity of the body. He knew that we needed each other. You know that God's word doesn't teach independence, it teaches dependence. We are dependent upon Him. And we even depend on each other. You realize that? Why? Because when we have the Holy Spirit, why would we depend on anyone else? Because God the Holy Spirit has given gifts to others that He hasn't given to us. Not everyone here has the gift of shepherding. Not everyone here has the gift of teaching. Not everyone here has the gift of giving. Not everyone here has the gift of service. Not everyone here has the gift of evangelism. Not everyone here has the gift of discernment. All of the gifts talked about in Romans and Ephesians and Corinthians. Not everyone has all of the gifts. We are dependent upon each other to grow each other in those. Your heart is molded by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit living in you gives you the desires, puts desires into your heart, and relates the gifts that He gives you to those desires. And that encourages me. Because I may not have that. My gifts are in a different area. My heart is for a different area. I can tell you where my heart lies, but you know what? My heart's not the only heart here. But I need to draw the encouragement from you. You need to draw encouragement from me. Because God the Holy Spirit is in me. God the Holy Spirit is in you. And we encourage. And what does it mean to encourage? What does it mean to establish? To strengthen us, it means to encourage each other as we live. Because if we don't have each other, folks, it's going to be really hard living our life for Jesus Christ. It is. Because We are not as independent as we like to think we are. We are dependent. We are dependent upon Him, and we're dependent upon each other to grow us. The gifts of the Spirit, it's an amazing study. And when we get into chapter 12, I believe, of Romans, we'll be into that a little bit. You know, that's probably going to be a couple months yet before we get there. But we'll get to chapter 12 eventually. You guys, that just went right over your head, didn't it? Didn't even think about that, did you? It might be a couple of years yet. But we will get there. Yeah, that's more like it, right? I went completely off my notes. I have no idea where I'm at now. Oh, well. All right, let's just forget the notes then. All right, what I want to do, I want to finish it right here in verse 12. Because there's an aspect to this we need to understand. Paul here, his heart was wrapped up in serving God with the gifts that God gave. It wasn't his strengths, it wasn't his vitality, it wasn't everything about him, it was what God gave. And his interest in these folks was also to gain something. Paul here wasn't saying, look, I'm going to come and I'm going to teach you and you are just going to be great. Paul was saying, I'm going to come, I want to come, I desire so badly to come so that I can use my spiritual gifts with you, you can use your spiritual gifts with me, and we can grow together. We can understand who we are in Jesus Christ. And if you look, as we go through this book, you know that Paul had an understanding of justification by faith. And he wanted to share that, but he wanted the people to accept that. So he was opening his heart here. He was doing something very dangerous. He was opening his heart. He was opening it to criticism. He was opening it to misunderstanding. He was opening himself up because he wanted them to accept it from his heart. He wanted them to accept this teaching from his heart. Paul here knew the value of each other. He knew the value of sharing one with another. In fact, he ends it that way in verse 12. He says that that I may be encouraged together with you while among you, each of us by the other's faith, both yours and mine. You realize your spiritual gift is based on your faith. Each of us by the other's faith. Our faith is shown as we use what God has given. Our faith is shown. And that builds one another. That encourages us. That strengthens us to stand. What does Ephesians 6 talk about? Spiritual armor of God. Put it on. Why? So you can stand firm. Stand firm. Stand firm. Never says we're to go running after Satan. It says we're to stand firm. And how do we do that? To stand firm, we have to be strengthened. We have to be encouraged. How do we do that? By utilizing what God has given us towards one another. The church is not a bunch of individuals. The church is a body. Folks, the most important gift you can have, I want you to catch this, the most important gift you can use within our church is to pray. To pray for each other. Especially to pray for one another's faith. Okay? Now don't forget our physical issues also. But to pray for the building up of our faith. So that we can encourage one another as we live this life, as we exercise the gifts that he has given, as we utilize the Holy Spirit gifts that he's given us, we can grow. We can grow in Jesus Christ. We can become more and more strengthened and firm and firm standing in who we are in Christ and what he has done. And that it is not about us. It is all about him. Folks, as we get into this, especially as we get into chapter 12, I think you'll see a lot more about the spiritual gifts. Next week, we're going to look at Paul's motivation, his heart, his motivation. And that's very important here because he wants the people to know he's not doing this just out of a material aspect. But he's doing this because of his love for them, and his love was given by God. And how he views his ministry is really neat. And I think you'll be challenged by his view of or his motivation. I think you'll be challenged by it. But as you consider what we've gone over this week, understand this. Paul was excited. He was excited about the spiritual gifts that each of us have and about sharing with one another because he saw the value of interdependence. He saw the value of the body, the unity of the body. Not independent, but interdependent. He saw that. We can do that. Even right here, we can do that as we share God's love with each other. If you have never trusted in Jesus Christ, I would invite you today to come and talk to me. I would love to show you from God's Word how you can have that relationship with God. Not religion. We don't do religion, okay? Don't like religion. What we do is show you the relationship you can have where you can call Him your daddy, your father. If you have trusted in Jesus Christ, know this. You have a spiritual gift. You can encourage one another. You can edify each other with. And especially, above all, you can pray. Pray for each other. Be praying for our folks. That we would grow in our faith. Grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's pray.